Begin the current daf, Masech the Baba Basra, daf Kav Dalad. Begin on the bottom of Kav Gimel Abayz, two lines up in the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara begins the Gemara on the Mishnah of the previous daf. That is, the Mishnah had contrasted two cases regarding someone selling a base korv offer to someone else. In one case, he said the term Mida Bechevel. Exactly, if a person measured by rope, it's precisely that amount. If he said precisely that amount and he was adamant about that, then if he gives a little bit more, or a little bit less, then that has to be compensated. So if he gives a little bit more, it has to come back to the seller. If he gives a little bit less, so he has to charge a little bit less for what he charged to the consumer. But let's say he said, hein chaser, hein yeser. Let's say I'm selling you a base core, 30, so a little bit more, a little bit less. Oh, so then he wasn't necessarily precise. Then if it's up to a quarter of a kav per sa, whether more or less, then either party is going to be meichel. If it's beyond that, that's when the Mishnah described different parameters up to what amount would it be considered that then he has to give it back, the consumer would have to give it back, whether according to the seller's preference of be it money or land, up till when it would be considered a significant amount, then the entirety of the land would have to be, anything beyond the base core would have to be given back to the seller. But regards to those two different halachas, the Gemara has the following question. Ibailu, base core stama. Let's say someone just unspecified says, a base core of offer, I'm going to sell you. My, what would the halacha be in that situation? In other words, when he didn't say either one of these extreme terms, he didn't say neither mida bechavel, which means exactly, and but neither did he say the liberal term of hein chaser, hein yeser, whether a little bit more, a little bit less. In other words, when you just say just plain good old base core offer on the meichelach, what would the halacha be in that situation? Would you compare that to the case of mida bechavel? Because generally, when someone stipulates that he's selling him a base core, his intention is to be precise and not to be forgiving if there's a little bit more, a little bit less, until he says explicitly, hein hachaser, hein yeser. And therefore, if let's say he gives him a little bit less than 30 saw, then he has to deduct from the price. And if he gives a little bit more, then that has to be given back to the seller. Or do you say that no, that the regular unspecified case of base core afan neimaychalach would be more similar to hein chaser, hein yaser, when the person says a little bit more, like, take a little bit, give a little bit, where we assume that a person generally is meichel up till a quarter kav per sa. That's the Gemara's question. And because there's two ways of interpreting it, that's why the Gemara asked it such a question. So the Gemara says, Tashima, let's bring a raya from our Mishnah. The Reish of our Mishnah said, base core afan neimaychalach, this is from the previous daf. That if someone says, I'm going to sell you a base core of offer, mi de bechevel, exactly, precisely, if it was measured, as if it was measured by robe. So then, as we get to the top of kavdal medav, so the Mishnah said, sapachas kol shu yinaka. If it's anything a little bit less from exactly a base core, so then he has to deduct from the price. Yes, or kol shu yaks. If it's a little bit more that the seller gave him more than the base core, so that has to go back to the seller. So that's the inference. The Gemara says, hastama, but then the inference is, but if it just said unspecified, and didn't explicitly say that it has to be exact, sounds like that kehen chaser hein yeser dummy, that would be comparable to the case of when he says a little bit more, a little bit less, where that it doesn't have to be exact. So you see the answer to the question when you say, without me the bechevel, base ko'afer stam on the meichelach, that it would be that a person would be forgiving up until a quarter kav per sa. So it's like, no, because they maseifa. Look at the next case of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, vim amali hein chaser hein yeser, if the guy explicitly says, I'm selling you a base core, take a little bit, give a little bit. Then said the Mishnah, Philippichas Revelus, then even if he doesn't give him, if it's diminished a little bit from what he's supposed to give him, a quarter kav per sa, a haisa Revelus, or if he gives him a little bit too much, he gives him up until a quarter kav per sa, higiyoi, then it's a valid sale and each party is meichel. Now the inference here is hostama, but if he didn't say explicitly that it's okay if it's a little bit off, then it sounds like kimi de bechevel dummy. That then it would be that it has to be like the case of exact, and that he's not meichel. So those are two contradictory inferences. Ella rather says the Gemara mahalak elamashmina. Obviously, you cannot infer from our Mishnah because either one would have contradictory inferences. So then, why does the Mishnah then say it? Mishnah is actually saying it for the halacha itself, because since the next Mishnah, which is like the seifa of our Mishnah on the previous staff, teaches when the person says both terminologies. When the person says, Mida Bechevel on the Meichelach, Hein Chaser, Hein Yeser, so which one is it? Is it exact, like Mida Bechevel, or is it liberal, like Hein Chaser, Hein Yeser? So the halacha, as we'll see in the next mission, tells us that actually the second term that he says of hinchasta henyeser nullifies the first term that he said of being exact because of what we call tavas lashon achron. We go based on the second terminology that he had said. That's why in the Reisha, meaning of our Mishnah, it had to tell us that when you said one and not the other, then you'd go based on the terminology that you said. But in the Seif, when you say both, and then the contradictory, then you go after the last one. That's why the Mishnah said, but it's not to say, and inferentially, to say, oh, but if you don't say this, then what's the halacha in Beis Ko'af or Stam? That you can't prove from either one of our cases in our Mishnah. So the Gemara continues trying to bring a proof. What's the halacha but when he just says base core offer stam on the meichelach? Toshimah, let's bring a raya for the following brisa. Base core offer on the meichelach. Seemingly that's the case we're discussing. When someone just says, a base core of offer, I'm selling you. Or a base core offer on the meichelach, which sounds like something close to a base core, which looks like a base core, but it's not literally a base core, rather even a little bit more or a little bit less. Or he says, a base core of offer I'm selling you, hein chaser hein yes ani meichlach, and I'm selling it to you whether it's a little bit more or a little bit less. So says the Braisa, afila pichas reivel asa. So in all these cases, even if he gives him less by a quarter of a kav per sa, a heiser reivel asa, or if he gives him more at a rate of a quarter kav per sa, he guye. So that's going to be a valid sale. And this halach is going back on all these three cases that we described. So says the Gemara Almas that we see from the first case that stam anami kein chaser hen yeser dami. The first of those three cases was the case of base core afani meichelach, and we see that it's just like the third case and like the second case, which is a kid base core, that it's flexible, up to a quarter cup or so that they are meichelach. So you see that that's the halacha when even though he says it's stam without saying hein chaser hen yeser. And that says the Gemara, no, it's not a raya. Hasan perushikum mefarish. We could actually explain that braisa that the last, which would seem like the third case, the last terminology of Hein Chaser Hein Yeser of the Sefer, is actually coming to explain the first case of the Reisha, which said in the case of Beis Kor Ofer Ani Meichelach. And this is what the Braisa was saying. It's one long case. It's not three cases. A Zehu Beis Kor, what is a case of Beis Kor? Shehike Beis Kor, we thought that was the second case. No, it's actually coming to qualify. What's a case of when he just says a Beis Kor? That's going to be like the halacha of ke base core, which we taught in the previous Mishnah, which that doesn't mean literally because it's like a base core. It could be off a little bit. Kegoin, and that's what the Mishnah, the Braisa comes to say. For example, the amale hein chaser hein yeser, that is in such a case when he says hein chaser hein yeser. Meaning, if someone tells his friend, base core offer ani meichelach, so it doesn't make a difference if he says ke base core offer ani meichelach, and it doesn't make a difference even if he says base without the kof. But if he ends off that sentence with hein chaser hein yeser, after he said beis korof hanei meichelach, so both those cases would be higiyoi up till a quarter kav, you can give that room for error, because ke beis korofer and hein chaser hein yeser both mean that it's a little bit liberal. But not as if the first line of that braisa was its own case, because you could say that beis korof hanei meichelach stam would actually be exactly like mede bechevel. There we're saying with the end last line qualifying the first line. Now, this interpretation, maskeb le Rav Ashi, he says, Im Kain, if that's the case that you're explaining the brisa not as three different cases, but as that the last case is explaining the first case, so then ani meichelach lamali. Then why does the brisa say three different times ani meichelach, ani meichelach? When I mean, the brisa should have said beis kor offer, ki beis kor offer, hein chaser hein yester ani meichelach, because you're explaining it the way you said it as one case, meaning beis kor offer. That's like a base core offer, is if you say hein chaser hein yeser ani meichelach. Why does it say by each one ani meichelach? Rather, we could infer from there that there are three different cases, and that stam anami kein chaser hein yeser dami, and that even when you just say base core offer ani meichelach is the same as the third case when you say hein chaser hein yeser. From there, we answer our question that even if you say base core offer ani meichelach without saying hein chaser hein yeser, it's going to have the same halacha. It's only when you say mid bechevel that you mean exactly, but if not, a person is forgoing of a quarter of kav per saw in his sale. Now, the Mishnah said, Mahu machzulay. So he said, so what is the halacha we said in regarding of, let's say when it says hein chaser hein yeser. So hein chaser hein yeser. So, okay, it doesn't have to be exactly 30 sa. I'm charging you a certain amount of money for this base core. Now, it might not be exactly 30 sa. And both parties are okay. It's off a little bit. How much could it be off? Up to a quarter kav per sa. Now, if it's more than that, the discrepancy is larger than that, then the Mishnah said, okay, then you really got to make a cheshbon. You got to really make a calculation, and then the buyer is going to have to give back everything that's more than the base core. So on that, the Mishnah qualified and says, so mahu machzalai, so what does he give back? So the Mishnah said, mois, he has to give him back the money. V'chulu, etc., our Gemara quotes, which is that meaning, it depends actually on the desire of the seller. If the seller wants back the land, so that's actually what the basic halacha is, because the buyer didn't plan on buying more than base core offer. So now that it's already more than how much a person would be meichel, he's got to give back everything, as the end of our Mishnah qualifies that, as we'll say at the end of this daf. He's got to give back everything. And like the primary halacha is the money. But if the seller actually wants, he's got to give back the land. But if the seller wants the money, meaning to say he wants that the buyer has to stay with the land, then as we explained in the previous stuff, the Chacham were misakin that since the seller has no utility for something so small that's excess, what's he going to do with it? Then we require that the buyer hold onto it, and he has to pay that extra value in money to the seller. Except that the Mishnah said, as we'll describe this halacha shortly, when it reaches an amount of the excess was, let's say, 9 kavin for a field, or by a garden, a half a kav, or according to other opinions, a quarter kav, then it's already considered a distinct area, then we don't give that dispensation to the seller, and then the buyer could just force the seller to take back the land and not have to give him the monetary value, and in a sense, him have to buy that extra more than what he wanted to buy of a base core offer. Now, the Gemara asks on this halacha, the Mishnah, Liapis koichesh al meicher aminan. So what we say, the tachamah were misakin only to increase the benefit of the seller, which again, as we just described, that's the halacha that we forced the lekeach to give for the excess, not in the land. He can't just give the land back. He's got to give him the money if the seller wants, and he has to hold on to this extra land. And what liapis koichesh al lekeach lo aminan? And we don't say that we increase the benefit of the consumer. In other words, let's say the consumer wants to buy the excess. Let's say they had made up only a base core. Turns out, he ended up giving more than the base core offer. Now, if it's beyond the amount that each party would be meichel, so the halacha is, so it's got to go back to the seller. But what has to go back? From the Mishnah, it sounds like it's up to the discrepancy of the seller, because we're misakin for the seller. And what? And let's say the buyer wants to like actually give back the money, and the seller wants to take back the land, and the reason why the buyer would want to hold on to the land and give him back money is because there's a little parcel of land that's excess of the base core. He doesn't want the buyer to be around over here. He doesn't want him to be hanging around the field that he bought over here. So he wants to have all the land for himself. So what? You're going to say in such a situation that we do not force the seller to sell that little bit of extra land to the buyer, and that it's only up to his discretion? But ask the Gemara of Tanya in the Braisa that says, Piches Shivas Kavanu Mechtz L'Kor. This halacha of our Mishnah. So let's say he didn't give exactly the base core that he had promised. He gave it 7.5 kavan less to the amount of the core. Ayhaiser Shivas Kavanu Mechtz L'Kor. Maybe actually just the opposite. He actually gave too much land. He gave 7.5 kavan more than the land, that's the exact measurement of our Mishnah, which our Mishnah was just breaking it down per saw. There's 30 saw in the car, which is a quarter of a kav per saw, which comes out for a total of 7.5 kavan. So and that says the Braisa, like the halacha of our Mishnah. So he gave it. So that's going to be a sale, because either party is meichel in that situation. It's not so significant. Continues the Braisa, Yoishu Mikan, but if it's more than that amount, then kaifinus a meichel limker. We force the seller to sell that excess to the consumer, meaning if the consumer wants to buy it, then we force the seller to sell that extra bid, just like, which the Braisa concludes, that we have the halacha, that we force vesel likach likach, that like our Mishnah said, that we force the consumer to buy because of the takana of the seller, that we don't want the seller to lose out for that little bit of land. What's he going to do? So it's a little bit more. So you're going to make the seller take back the little bit of land. For that, we force on the attribute of sedaim, which is you, the buyer, you have all this land over here. Take that little bit and give him the monetary value. It's zen ene bezeli chaser. So therefore, we know there's halacha, we force to lekeach. But what this price is saying is that the same thing is the drabbanu or misakin for the consumer also, that he could force the seller to sell him that little bit of land so that the seller shouldn't be hanging around over here in that little piece of land right by this whole piece of land that the buyer bought. And he's going to have to protect himself from the seller. And in this case, the seller's not losing anything because it's only a small piece of land. So this is the same midas sedaim in the reverse, that zenana, that the buyer is gaining, and zelechas, and the seller is not losing. So you see from the braisa that the halach is not only for the benefit of the seller, but also for the buyer too. So that answers the Gemara. No, the truth is, like we understood from our Mishnah, that the whole Takanas Chacham was only to benefit the power of the seller, and we don't say the Yipukayach to benefit the power of the buyer. Because the truth is, we do not ever force the seller to sell the excess against his will. Rather, if the seller wants, he can give back, he can make the buyer give him back the land, as the Mishnah told, or he could ask him to give him back the money. Now this is the Braisa teaching us that Kaifin Esamoichalimker sounds like that we force the seller to sell. It doesn't mean literally we force the seller to sell against his will. Rather, what it means is that actually to the contrary. If he wants to, he can decide whatever he wants to. Rather, what the case of the Braisa is talking about is if the seller wants to sell it to the consumer, meaning he only wants to get money back, not land. Where in that type of situation, we say that the Takanas Chacham was that we increase the power of the seller and he can get the money. Now, if he wants, in that situation, the Lekeich is going to have to give him back the money. Now, but the situation of this price is talking about where the piece of land, Hasam, was over there, going to have a Yekira Me'ikara. Originally, at the time of the sale, the price of land, real estate, was high. Now, Vizol Hashta, but now at this point in time already, real estate is already down. Now, but since they just measured, they just realized that he gave him too much. Now, he wants to force the Lekeach to have to buy the rest, as we said in our Mishnah, that's the Takanas Chacham, that he could force him to give him back in the amount of the excess, the monetary value, but he wants him to give it back to how much the market value is right now, which is much higher than, he wants him to give him back as it was originally, which was the higher price. So now it's much cheaper. I don't want, you'd have to pay me that. That's what the Braisa is teaching, that no, Kaifin is a Meichel Limka. What does it mean that we force the seller to sell? We force him to sell according to the lower price that it is right now. Darminle, because we tell the seller as follows. I'ara yahavtle, that if you're giving him the land, meaning that you want to take back the money and not take back the land, which is the primary halacha, you want to go with the Takanas Chachamim that you could force him to take the land and you take the money. And that we tell him, Havli Kizula the Hashta. Then give him according to the cheaper price that it is right now, because it's enough for you that what the Chachamim do for you, that they give you the opportunity to make, that you could sell that excess and make the buyer have to buy that with giving you back money, or the other option that you could choose to get back the land. But that's only where there's no loss for the consumer. Where then, that's the Takanas Chachamim because of Midas Adayim, that Zenen v'Zen Nechasa, where you're gaining, he's not losing, so the Chachamim require that. But to make the consumer buy now, which the market value is cheaper, and to pay as it used to be, which is the higher price as you had in originally when your sale originally was, that we don't say. Then we say that, no, you have to give it to him according to the cheaper price, or go ahead and take your land back. Now, how do we interpret the other words of the Braisa then of Vesel Keach Likach, that we force the consumer to buy? That explains Rashbam, that's if the seller wants to go ahead and now, yes, make him take it now at the cheaper price, oh, that's where we force the consumer to take it because of the benefit of the seller, because there the consumer is not losing anything. Now he's taking it according to the market value, which is cheaper right now, then that's what we say in the Halacha of a Mishnah, we force him to take it, and then the seller gets the money back. But the Gemara still asks, but Vatanya, we learn the Braisa that says, Kishu Naisenloi, that when the seller gives to the consumer the land, meaning the excess, that he could force him to, as we said in our Mishnah, and then he gets back the money, says the Braisa, Naisenloi Kishash Lokach Mimenu. He gives it to him according to the value of how much it was worth when he originally had sold it to him. So you see that it's not based on how much it is right now, and it is based on what it originally was. You just gave an answer by saying that it was used to be expensive and now it's cheaper, that's where we say this halacha, that's we force them to sell according to the cheaper price right now. But we see in this price it's not true. We see we do go based on how much the original price was. Says the Gemara, no, not a contradiction, because actually that case is the reverse. We always go for the benefit of the buyer. Hasim over there is talking about going to have a zoyla me'ikara. There is talking about where the price when they had originally made the sale of this base core, which ultimately turned out to be more than a base core, then the price was actually cheaper. The yakur lahashta. And now the price went up. That's where the consumer tells to the seller, look, I don't want to buy your land right now, which is much more expensive than real estate now. Because even originally when I bought from you this base core offer, if I had not found a cheap price because the market was down, I would never have bought it from you. In other words, wherever the consumer has a valid claim, there the Chacham did not make a yibukayach for the meicher. And therefore, if the seller wants to force him, then he has to take like the cheaper price, where, because over here, that's where we said that Lekeach has a claim, and therefore, he doesn't have to buy. But when he's giving it for the cheaper price, then there's no loss for Lekeach, and then we force him to buy it, like the Tekan's Chama in our Mishnah. But again, that's what we said, that it has to be a benefit for the seller that's not going to be at a cost to the consumer. And that's what the Brice is teaching us by this halacha of Kervinus and Meichel Limker. But again, the primary halacha, yes, was only instituted, as our Mishnah said, for the benefit of the Meicher, but not for the benefit of the Lekeach. It just can't cost him, it can't be a loss for him. Now, the Gemara continues to explain the halacha of our Mishnah that continued and said, Shim Shayer Basad, the base test Kavin Vachulu, that this halacha that we're describing, that if it's there's three divisions, there's three levels that there are in this halacha of the differential, which is when he says hein chas or hein yeser, although he said I'm going to sell you a base core of offer. So if he says exacting, then any deviation is going to have to be compensated. But if he says a little bit more, a little bit less, so then we assume a person's meichel up until a quarter kav per saw, which would make a total of 7.5 kavin for the base core. Now, but if it's more than that, then the Mishnah said that then there's no mechila, then they're going to have to make a cheshbon. What's the cheshbon? So the Mishnah described where the seller has the choice, it's his prerogative, if he wants to get compensated the money or getting that excess of land, which is going to be all that excess as the Mishnah described. Now, on that the Mishnah said, because the reason is, if that excess is actually more than 7.5 kav, if it's actually an area of 9 kavin, then the seller does not have the prerogative. Then the consumer could force the seller to take back the land. He doesn't have to buy it, because the whole reason that the Tekan's Chacham was only so that the seller doesn't get stuck with a small piece of land. But 9 kavin is already a sheer chashav abasada. Then he says, you know, to the seller, go ahead, fine, take your field back. I don't have to, I'm not forced based on the Tekan's Chachamim to buy that land. Now, regarding this halacha of tesk of 9 kavin, we have a machlekes amirum how to qualify that. As the Gemara describes, Amrav Huna, he says, tesk kavin she'amru. This halacha that we said in the Mishnah, that if there's an excess of the sale of the field by an area of 9 kavin, that then we say, okay, that's not going to be included in the sale, and neither, for sure, is that not part of the mechila. In other words, although it's more than a quarter kav per saw, we're not going to say the halacha of the Mishnah that we're going to make a cheshbin, which increases the benefit of the seller, which he could force the consumer to give him back money, not just the land. Rather, once it's tes kavin, the buyer could force the seller to take back the land itself. Amet says, Rav Huna, that halacha of 9 kavin was said, v'afilu b'bik g'dayli, even in a large, huge tract of land, which holds 10 kar. Our Mishnah was describing 1 kar. Even if it's 10 kar, the halacha would be that if it's already an area of 9 kavin, that then the buyer has to give back that land to the seller. Because although all there was from this huge area of 10 kar, which is 10 times 30 saw, and all you have is 9 kavin total, still Rav Huna holds that the halacha was as follows. Up until a quarter kav per saw, every party is meichel. More than that, there's no mechila. Rather, then you already have to make a calculation, okay, well, how much the error was to compensate. Now, therefore, that comes out, let's say, for a base car, which is 30 saw. So he said 30 quarter kavs, which is 7.5 kavs, is going to be mechila. More than these 30 quarter kavs. So then we said that now that there's already more than a quarter kav per saw, then you have to make a cheshbon. Until you reach, from that's like 7.5 kavin, until you reach to 9 kavin, up until that, then it's the halach of chazar that you have to give back. Once it's 9 kavin, then the consumer says he has to give back that land, and he doesn't, which this has a stringency and a leniency to it, that it doesn't have to give him the money, the seller just takes back the land, because it's already a distinguished amount of land, which is like a field in its own right. On that comes Rav Huna to explain that was specifically by a base core. But if it's the area that was being sold was 2 kor, where there, if you have a quarter of a kav for every saw, that's going to be more than 9 kav. Meaning, even if it's within what's usually we call the framework of that, a person's meichel, but since you're selling 2 saw, a quarter kav per saw is going to be the difference of more than 9 kavin. That much, says Rav Huna, since it's like a whole area of a field, a person's not meichel, even though it's less than a quarter kav per saw. Because since the excess is a chashav amount that's a field in its own right, in that case, says Rav Huna, even though it's less than a quarter kav per saw, the buyer has to give back the land itself. Now, however, as long as it's not nine kav, then Rashbam explains Rav Huna, of course, would agree that if it's still within the area of a quarter kav per saw, then there would be a mechila. So, for example, if let's say he was selling him 35 saw, and there's 35 quarter kavs of excess, which is a little bit less than 9 kav, then there would still be a mechila. But if it's if it's going to be an area of 9 kav, even though it's less than a quarter kav per sa, says Rav Huna that he's got to give back the land. Whereas Rav Nachman, he disagrees. He says, no. Neisen shivas kav nu mechza l'chol kar bakar. The halacha is, it doesn't make a difference if he was selling him one saw and the error was one quarter kav, or if it was 1,000 quarter kavs for the 1,000 saw, it's going to be a mechila, which is, it's a 7.5 kavin per every kor. So if you're selling him 10 kor, so then the amount of the mechila is going to be that much more, even though that's going to be more than an area of 9 kav. Now, however, as we continue to Medbeis, explains Rav Nachman, but the truth is that if there is a little bit more than a quarter kav per sa, oh, we're now ready, you crossed the line. Now it's ready, it's no mechila, neither by the quarter kavs or the excess. Then we see, what do we see? If it's two kors, we're now, it's quarter kavs that you're in excess of, is more than letishas kavin, meaning even when it's a quarter kav per sa, it would already be more than 9 kavin, which we said, now that there's no more mechila because it's beyond the quarter kav per sa, oh, then Hadri, then you're going to have to give back the land as it is. Why is that? Didn't we say when it's more than a quarter kav per sa, just a little bit more, you're still in the category of making a cheshbon? That's because now you already have a distinct area, which you're way past 9 kavin, which is a field in its own right. The Chacham were not mesakin to make this benefit for the seller to force the consumer to give him back the money. Rather, he can just give him back the land itself. Because if it would be a sale of only a base core, so then it's only if you have a kav and a half more than the quarter kav per saw, which in the sum total is going to be 9 kavin, that's when we said you're going to have to give it back. But that's what Rav Nachman is concluding over here, that when it's two kor, even though you're only just a little bit more than a quarter kav per sa, then we're not going to say, like we said, a base kor that you're going to make a cheshbon. Rather, he doesn't have to give back the money. He can force the seller to take back the land itself, because since you already passed a quarter kav per sa, so there's no mechila, and you already have the excess as a sheer sada in its own right, so why would we force the lekeach to take the land and give him money? But it's already what's called, as the Gemara says on Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, Beirudu Yaima. It's enough of a land that it could be used for plowing in the whole day, and the seller doesn't lose anything by taking back the land itself. But if it was one base kor, then you're right. Then it's not just by a little bit more than a quarter kav per sa. Then it's like our Mishnah said, you would have to have another kav and a half that's more than this measurement of a quarter kav per sa, which is 7.5 kavin, to then make till it comes to 9 kavin, then you would have to give it back. So, and Rashbam says, Nalocha is like Rav Nachman. So we have this machlekes between Rav Huna and Rav Nachman regarding this halacha of 9 kavin. When was it said? Rav Huna says it's an absolute law, even if it's going to be less than a quarter kav per sa, which is usually in the area of mechila, says him, no, it's already such a chash of a thing, you have to give it back. Whereas Rav Nachman says that no, he says that we always work with that up until a quarter kav per sa, no matter how much the quantity is, but it's still a quarter kav per sa, which is 9.5 kavin per every kor, that it's going to be a mechila, even if it's more than 9 kavin. But one thing Rav Nachman is agreeing to, yes, that but if it is more, a little bit more than a quarter kav per sa, which when it's just one kor, it's not yet that you have to that he can force him to take back the land, he has to make a cheshbon, he might have to give him the money. But that's only because that's by a kor where it's not yet 9 kavin when you're doing a little bit more than a quarter kav per sa, which is still going to be only 7.5, maybe 7.75, 8.5. But by 2 kor, where once it's already over the share of mechila, where it's a little bit more than a quarter kav per sa, and besides that, it's already a chash b'shir of 9 kavin because the quantity is so much, though that even when it's just a quarter kav per so, it's already more than 9 kavin. Then Rav Nachman agrees that, yeah, for sure, then he's going to be able to force him to take back the land itself because it's a shir in its own right. Now, on this machlekes, the Gemara says, Eisvei Rav Rav Nachman. So Rav asked Rav Nachman from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said that this halacha that we're saying, if it's more than a quarter kav per sa, that we say that we make a cheshbon, is only up until a certain amount. Meaning, because we're talking about per kor, it's 7.5 kav, because says the Mishnah, Shim Shari Basod, the Beis Tisha's kavin, because if, let's say, the excess would have been the amount of 9 kavin, oh, then says the Mishnah, then already the buyer doesn't have to buy the excess and give back money, then he can force him to take back the land. Asks Rava, Lav de Zavon Li Karayim? Isn't our Mishnah also talking about that the sale was even 2 kor? Because the Mishnah doesn't say over here that if what was left over was 9 kavin in the base kor, as it says in the Reisha specifies that we're talking about a base korov offer I'm selling you. Here it doesn't say that. So obviously, even by a large, huge field, that the halacha is that when it's in excess of 9 kavan, that goes back to the seller, the land as it is, which is difficult according to Rav Nachman, that he said that no, it's going to be mechila, as long as, no matter what the proportions are, if it's within a quarter of kav per sah, there's going to be mechila. Yet in our Mishnah, we see that no, once it's 9 kavan, it goes back to the seller, which again has its chumras and has its kulas in this machlikas Rav Huna Rav Nachman, but seemingly this is not like Rav Nachman, because it's still under the radar, it should still be mechila. So the Gemara, loy, no, the zavan lekar, this part of the Mishnah is going back on the Reisha, which was told about a base kar. On that, the Mishnah teaches that if there's 9 kavan, then it goes back, because now you have both the ingredients. You have more than a quarter kav per saw, and also, it's already beyond, which takes it out from the halacha of mechila, and then it's already past the measurement of 9 kavan, so then it's already a sada, then already besides the fact that it's not mechila, so the buyer has to compensate him, but again, then he can force him to take back the land and not the money, because it's already a chashva shir of a sada. Now the Gemara asked the same type of questions from the next cases of the Mishnah. The Mishnah then went on to say, ubegina, similar by our garden, if the excess is base chatzi kav, if it's an amount of a half a kav, so that's considered how much is the minimum measurement of a garden, then again, he could force him to take back the land. He doesn't have to buy it, the buyer. Says the Gemara, Lav de Zaman Le Sasayim, isn't this part of the Mishnah even talking about where he sold him an area of two sah? And the Gemara's question is, if we're talking about that he sold him an area of two sah, and even so, the Mishnah does not say that he gives him a quarter kav per sah, which, and that if there's excess, a little bit more of this half a kav, then he has to give back, then he can give back the land. That the Mishnah doesn't say. Rather, it sounds like that since in some total, it's the measurement of a garden, that a person is not moichel, which is like the pinner of Huna, then he could force him to take back the land, meaning that the land goes back to the seller, even though it's not even a quarter of a kav per saw, because there's two saw here that was being sold. So this amount of a half a kav is not yet the measurement of a quarter kav per saw, but that sounds like Rav Huna, not like Rav Nachman. Rav Huna said that yes, it's always going to go back once it's the minimum measurement of a field or a garden. That's not like Rav Nachman, who said that no, there's not. It's still within the Shir Mechila, and therefore it doesn't give back anything. It's actually totally Mechila. On the Gemara, Allah, no. The Zavon Leisa, we're talking about where actually the garden that was sold was only a Shir Abisa. So therefore, a quarter of a Kav is already the amount of Mechila, and therefore more than a quarter of a Kav is going to be the calculation of a cheshbon, but a half a kav, which is the case that the Mishnah is talking about, is already a measurement of a garden, and therefore that is going to go back, because it's already beyond the measurement of mechila, and now besides that, that it's already now in the cheshbon part, it's already the amount of a half a kav, which then he gives back the land as it is. Gemara continues to ask on Rav Nachman. The Mishnah says, the kedivri b'kiva now, and according to the opinion of b'kiva, base raiva, the amount of how much the buyer doesn't have to buy anymore, and since it's in excess that there's no mechila, so he gives it back to the seller. If it's a quarter kav, he holds that's the minimum measurement of a garden, he could give him back that garden because there's no loss to the seller because it's like a regular garden. On that, asks the Gemara and Rav Nachman, my lav de zaman leisa, isn't that case even talking about where the seller had originally sold him a measurement of a saw? And even so, we don't say that, okay, so he gives him a quarter of a kav for every half a saw, which is mechila. Rather, we say that since in the sum total of the excess, you have a measurement of a garden, that the land is given back to the seller, which is like Rav Huna, not like Rav Nachman, because according to Rav Nachman, it should still be within the framework of mechila, even though it's a measurement of a garden. No, it's talking about where the original sale that he had sold him was a half a saw. Therefore, a half of a quarter of a kav would be considered mechila. But more than a half of a quarter of a kav, you already make a cheshbon. And when you have a full quarter of a kav, that's already the measurement of a garden, where, again, there's no mechila anymore. And therefore, in that case, the buyer wouldn't have to give him money. He could give him back the piece of land. And therefore, there's no difficulty on Rav Nachman's interpretation. Now the Gemara continues. It says, Bayer Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi had the following question. If, let's say, he sold him a sada, a field, where, for example, if he sold him either a saw or two saw, and the excess was more than the two quarter kavs per the two sa. But, so it went out of the shear of mechila, but it's not yet 9 kavan, which, so therefore it's within the framework of what we call in the Mishnah yasa cheshbon, where it's not mechila. So the buyer has to compensate him, but neither could he just give him back the field because it's not yet nine kavim. But v'nasis gina, and then when the consumer had it in that interim period, it became a garden before he returned him, whether it be the money or the land. What does that mean, it became a garden? A river came through here or started flowing through this field, which already makes it fit to be a garden, because as the Pasuk says in Dvarim Yud Aleph, Vishkisa b'raglecha kagan hayarek. A garden's primary characteristic is that there is water running through it, and therefore it became a garden now. So the question is, what would the halacha be in that situation? In other words, in regards to what the consumer gives back to the seller, would we say we go based on the moment of the sale, and therefore you're going to make a cheshbon? Which is that if the seller wants, he could take money. If he wants, he could take land. Because at the time of the sale, this was something that it was considered as a sada, not as a gina. And that was within that middle ground of Yasa Cheshbon. Or maybe do you say that no, since this whole halacha is that the kandadrabanan, it's to make the benefit for the seller, that he shouldn't lose out from that little amount of land, which is not worth anything. But now that that half a kav already makes it a garden, and this is considered a garden now because there's water running through it, so maybe we would say that the seller would have to take back his land, and that the buyer would be able to give him back the land and not have to give him back money. That's one case. The same case in reverse, let's say when he sold it to him, he sold him a gina, a garden. But then it dried up, the Nasa Sada, and it became a field. Now it's not a garden, it's like a field. And it became a field when it was by already in the domain of the buyer. What would halacha be in that case? Would we go based on the time of the sale, and therefore he would be allowed to give him back just that field of a half a kav and not money? Because in the parameters of a gina, it is considered a distinct area. Or maybe that no, now also we would have to make a takana for the seller, because ultimately right now it's a sada and it's not fit on its own. And therefore if the seller wants to, he could force him to give him money, or if he wants to, he could take land. That was his question. Now Rashbam points out that it appears to him that the question was specifically how it was said. Where, for example, when there was no difference between the moment of the sale to the time of how much we're measuring it now at the time when he has to give it back and to make a calculation, where in those situations, the only two questions were, does he have to make a calculation that, in other words, would he have to give him money? Or would it be that he could just give him back the land itself? Where there, either way you look at it, there's no mechila. But says Rashbam, if originally it was in the status of mechila and at the end it was not, then says Rashbam, was definitely going to go based on what it was originally, because since originally it was in the category of mechila, let's say, for example, according to Rav Huna, where originally he sold him a field that was two sasayim. And there was an excess of two quarter calves per sah, which is mechila, and because still within that framework of a quarter of a calf per sah, and now it became a garden in the hand of the lekeach, which according to Rav Huna, that would have the halacha of that he could just give it back as it is. There, says Rashbam, most definitely Rav Ashi would agree that you go based on originally was, because already in the beginning he was meichel, and he gave him that he could keep those two quarter calves, and therefore now, although the status of the thing changed, that wouldn't change the halacha of mechila. It's only if it's in regards to giving back the land or having to give back money regarding that is Rav Ashi's question. And that says the Gemara, take a letter stand, it's not clear what the halacha would be in those cases. Continues the Gemara on these halachas, Tanu Lina Braisa. Imhaya, if that field that the seller was selling, which again he sold in excess to the buyer, was samach l'sadehu, was near the seller's other field, then says the Braisa, then afila, then even if the excess was kolshu, just a little bit more than the 7.5 kavin per kor that we say is usually mechila, once a little bit past that, where then we say there's no more mechila, but usually we say, okay, that if it's not yet 9 kavin, then he could make a cheshbon and force him to give back money. Says the Braisa, in this case, that machzoloi karka. Here, the buyer could force him to take back the land and not to make a cheshbon. And the reason is because usually the whole halacha is based on what he's going to do with this land. What he's going to do with this land. Here, it's fit to combine with his field that's on the border of this land. And therefore, even though it's not an excess of 9 kavin, in this case, as the Braisa, he could force him to take back the land, because here, the seller's not losing anything with that little bit of land, where there's no benefit to force the buyer to have to buy that little extra bit. Now, but says Rashbam, but if let's say the excess of that little bit on the base kur was, for example, let's say less than a quarter kav per sa, or let's say 7.5 kap per kar, where there's no quarter kap per saw, then says Rashbam, no, most definitely that would be considered mechila, and actually then the buyer would not have to give anything back, not money and not even land. It's just talking about when there is past that, but it's not the 9 kavan, then that little bit says the Bryce, according to the Rashbam, that he doesn't have to give him back money, he could give him back the land itself. Now, on this halacha, by Rashi asks, bar mahu shetafsik, what's the halacha, however, if let's say, between that little excess of what he had sold him more than the amount of mechila, and the seller's own other field, there's a pit that's between them, and then the question is, maybe that won't be calculated to be like added onto his field, and to the contrary, you would make a cheshbon because you can't say, oh, combine it to your field. What do you mean? There's a pit that's between your excess and my field. That's question number one. Continues the Gemara, and if you're going to say that, let's say that's not considered interruption because you could view it as one big field, and then your field, you have a pit. But amasamayim maushatavsik, what's the halacha regarding a stream of water running through? Would that separate that little extra and this guy's other field? Let's say derech harab maushatavsik, what would the halacha be? Let's say there's a public path of 16 amas wide that's going through between those two fields. Because as Rashbam says, a literal Rishus Rabbim, a public domain, you can't have a bigger interposition than that. You can't say add that onto your field and the street is running through it. It just means like a public path that's 16 amas wide. What would the halacha be in that situation? And all these are what's called imtim tzalaymer, where if you say by the first one that it's not mafsik, oh, well, how about this? This is a little bit more challenging. Would this be considered hefsik? Let's say Rikhva de Dikla Maushatavsik. What's if you have a row of palm trees that run, yeah, this guy's field ends here, but then there's a row of trees cutting like a wall, and then you have that other guy's field with it, a little excess there on the edge. What would you say halacha over there? Would we say that combines or that you can't combine that and therefore you can force Lekeach to buy it if it's not nine kavan? So the Gemara take or let it stand, it's not clear what halacha be in those situations. Now our Mishnah concluded, which we alluded to this question when we quoted the Mishnah in the previous staff, that said, so if it is beyond the amount of mechila, more than a quarter kap per saw, then says the Mishnah that we force the consumer to give back, which again, the halacha is yasa cheshbon, which the seller could force him either money or land, unless it's already nine kavan already, which is already a share of a sada, then we said the buyer could force him to take back the land and not have to buy it from him. But the Mishnah said that this halacha, if it's beyond the amount of mechila, is v'lo yisa reivin b'lvad nachsulay. He doesn't give him back just the amount of quarter kav per saw, elo kol ha-maisa. Rather, he has to give him back all the excess, even what's beyond that. Now, the Gemara quickly asked, Kalapi lai, to which direction is our Mishnah teaching? Where are we heading with this? The logic actually directs us the opposite direction. That, and you would think that the excess of beyond that is not going to be mechila, but the quarter kav you would think would be mechila. To the contrary, our Mishnah should have taught, as our Gemara is actually going to answer, that not only is the excess on the quarter kavs alone that now the buyer has to give that back to him, because you would have thought to say, okay, but the quarter kavs per saw, which is mechila, that is forgiven. No, even all the 30 quarter kavs of the base core, the buyer has to give it back, because now once there's already a certain chashav amount of land, which is beyond the amount of mechila, therefore it's not mechila anything. Now, the same thing says Rashbam would apply when if he gives him less than he's supposed to. That since he's missing more than already a quarter kav per saw, so the consumer is not meichel anything, as we said in the previous daf in Avtzadi Dalam and Aleph, that once someone's sifting through, he sifts through the whole thing, and the same thing for sure would apply by Heber Alach Savkarka. So why are you saying that, oh, not only the quarter kav per saw has to give him back, but even what's beyond that? To the contrary, what's beyond that, no one's meichel, but the quarter kav per saw would be mechila. So says the Gemara, you're right, Tani Ravin by Rav Nachman, he amends the reading, and it should say, lo yisa meisa b'lvad mafsulay. Not only what's in excess of a quarter kav per saw, okay, that much a person not meichel, okay, this was a mistake in the transaction, not only that is that considered, that has to be given back a less color of unkulim, but even all the quarter kavs, which if it would have only been up to a quarter kav, would be mechila, and would not have to give him back, but now that it's beyond that, now anything beyond the base core, even what's within an excess of a quarter kav per saw, has to all be given back because now there's no mechila at all and he has to give it all back.